Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So we know her as the Samaritan woman at the well. She was tired, really tired. She was tired of hearing people whisper as she walked by and knowing exactly what they were talking about. Sychar was a small town, and in small towns, we know how it goes. Word travels fast. The grapevine had been full of juicy gossip about her in many occasions. She had 5 failed marriages, and the latest piece of news was like blood thrown into a lake with piranhas. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband. Sychar wasn't known for much besides Jacob's well. John tells us that she goes to Jacob's well, but she goes at high noon and by herself. Now, that's quite unusual for sure. And most of the time, the women would meet at the well together to chat and have some social time. In ancient days, messengers would go to the well to share news because it was the nerve center of communication. The woman would also go in the cooler morning and evening hours to avoid the oppressive Palestinian sun. It must have been that over time, she realized that the blazing heat from the sun at its highest point was more bearable than the blazing stares and the knowing looks and the shaming silence from the other women. So she developed a routine which kept her from seeing anyone else. But this day, it was different. She wouldn't be alone. There was a weary and dusty man sitting next to the well. She wasn't used to people talking to her. So it must have been surprising to hear this man say to her something as simple as, "Give me a drink." But that was only the beginning of the shock. She said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, asked for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" It was a legitimate question. For centuries, the Jews had held nothing but contempt for the Samaritans. The Jews thought of them as half-breeds. They looked down upon them as spiritual half-breeds as well. Jews went to great lengths to avoid Samaritans. When traveling, pious Jews would rather add a day's journey to their trip by walking along the borders of Samaria rather than defile themselves by walking through the midst of such unclean people. But Jesus answered, he answered her honest question with some truth about himself. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying that to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water? Him giving me a drink? "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock." Jesus is greater than Jacob, and Jesus makes this woman an offer of something significant, of value, of eternal importance. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He wasn't talking about mere water or the well. He was talking about something so much more. This woman had been offered contempt and shame, judgment, and being offered the living water of God's grace. She was being given the fullness of Christ's entire purpose and mission in this world. But She didn't quite catch it. She didn't understand it yet. Well, how could she? But she does respond, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." It was an exhilarating moment for her, but in the next instant, I'm sure she felt it would all unravel as her past once again intruded on any hope she might have for the future. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." It must have felt like a punch in the gut. This man with so much to offer her, asking her to do something she was totally incapable of doing. The law always feels that way. So often God asks people to do that which they cannot. All she says is, "I have no husband." Then Jesus does something so troubling to her, he goes to that place she wished so badly to keep hidden. She knew that the line, "I have no husband," didn't tell the whole story. Now Jesus tells her that he knows it. "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." She stands there, and in one stroke, Jesus dismantles anything she could have hidden behind or any half-truths she could have gotten away with. He just exposes her sin. His words cut to the bone. She stays, "Sir, I perceive you to be a prophet." With this statement now, we see that this sinful woman, this Samaritan woman, even in her ignorance about Jesus, knows something very important, that he is full of mercy and that he is full of grace. She knows that from the second he saw her. He knew all about her sinful past and her shameful present, but he didn't run away. Just the opposite. He talked to her. He asked for a drink. He offered her living water. She confesses who she is, a sinner, one who has not lived up to God's commandments. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the Christ, the Messiah on mission. He came to save the world, the entire world. He came to save sinners. He came to this woman in the hour of her greatest need. And he has come to us as well. We read in Romans chapter 4, "You see, just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Some of the most powerful words we could ever hear. And yet, this is exactly what Christ wants us to hear. This is what he tells us from the cross and from the empty tomb. He isn't running away from us, that he isn't shunning us, that he didn't come to break us. In your darkest moments, when you are afraid to open your mouth to confess the sin in your soul, when you have convinced yourself to abandon hope and that God could never forgive you, remember this Samaritan woman at the well. Remember who you are talking to. Remember that God wants you to remember these moments like these, that God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.